Why, hello, welcome to episode number 283 of the Apologue Podcast. I am your host, Simon Head. This podcast is brought to you in part by AIXDSP.com. Get affordable and useful plugins. Get the IC Intuition Compressor. It's a compressor that gives you a clear and intuitive visual display that shows exactly what is happening to your audio at all times. Click the link in the description for more information. If you're shopping on Amazon, you can support the show. Did you know that? Now you do. Go to apologue.ca/Amazon or apologue.ca/USAmazon. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way, too, by going to apologue.ca and click on those banners located on the right side. Locate your country, whether you're from the Canadians, the USAs, or the UKs. Bookmark those links, and every time you shop on Amazon, use those links to shop and support the show. It costs you no extra money. Support my work on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/apologue. Pledge as much or as little as you want on a monthly basis to help with hosting and gas fees, and you can cancel at any time. Go buy a t-shirt. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes. Give it 5 stars, please. Like and share on Facebook by going to facebook.com/apologuepod. And follow me on Twitter at simonhead666. Today on the show, I have LTs. LTs is a hip-hop performer. He's based out of Montreal. He's just put out The Index to My Inner Thoughts on Hydroponic Records. It came out on September 18th. The music he plays is very, very, it has this 90s feel to it, and it's a good 90s feel. It was a fun conversation talking to somebody who's traveled all over the world playing music, and he's a good dude. It's fun to talk to. It's fun to talk to people who have done stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, LTs on the Apologue Podcast. Do you go to Toronto much?
Yeah, my family lives in Toronto.
Oh, whereabouts?
Yeah, my grandparents in Beaches.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so my grandparents used to live here in Montreal, but they moved to Toronto because I have my other family there. So, I go see them often. I was supposed to go this Monday, but it's too many cases right now. COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the news. Like it's like it's the news stealer. This whole COVID thing, right? It's stealing all the news.
Yeah, yeah it is
stealing everybody's heat.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, who would have thunk? I mean, yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. But I'm trying to. So how did you meet Melanie in all of this? Because she's a publicist that works with me a lot.
We met through a publicist that we have here in Montreal. Her name is Lisa.
Okay.
And, she basically, connected us. Melanie is kind of like comes with the package, I guess.
Yeah. We work together a lot. Cause Montreal is a nice place for me to think about too. Back in the old days, there used to be a group there called Shades of Culture.
Shades of Culture. I like the name.
Yeah. Them, early like 90s, mid 90s, hip hop, grassroots. Really? Yeah, kind of like very nice, very well done. And so there's a thing in Montreal with hip hop, and there's also a tight connection between hip hop and punk rock in all of this. And because our cities aren't that big. If you think about it, they're not that big. Everybody needs to sort of, intermingle. Yeah,
Toronto is pretty big. Hold on 1 second. Sure. So, how long is the interview you said about? For 30 to 45 minutes about?
Yeah, 30 to 40. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's pretty loose. It's conversation-based. Yeah. There's no, I don't really pose any questions, but I know I like to meet people, and that's kind of what I do. And I meet new people. It. Yeah, absolutely. So, you're relatively young. How old are you?
Yeah, I'm turning 25 on Monday.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot of,
It feels old to me, to be honest.
No, there's a lot of wisdom in the in your music for sure. I mean,
thank you.
It's there's yeah, obviously some, it's positive. It's not, you know, my son's really into hip hop, and so was I in the early 90s, but I got into sort of NWA and Ghetto Boys and sort of like that type of hip hop, and which isn't generally very, actually, if you think it was good for them, but it's really not good for the actual positivity part of hip hop, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, but what, you know, their lives weren't very positive, so
yeah,
it's hard to make positive music when your life is not positive, you know. So.
That's true. Yeah. You know,
and that's filled out like the Rodney King era too. At the same time, you know, like a lot of stuff was happening around that time and stuff like that.
So, yeah, yeah.
You know, it was very reflective of the times, you know, and so. But yeah, but you know, you had like people like De La Soul around that time. That was pretty positive.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And it was around the same time, like 93, 92, around that
and
time.
And then mid 90s was that Tribe Called Quest and all that kind of, that was all, yeah. So, it's there's sort of like a nice, like a division sort of jazz and sort of like the jazz part is sort of like Tribe Called Quest and kind of stuff you do is it feels there's nice chords and it's like, it's, you know, it doesn't feel like I'm being sort of browbeaten.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you know you've done this for a while?
Yeah. Yeah, I've done this. Are we recording?
We started. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've just been like doing music for a while, and like before I was doing music, I was in like a music school, so like I've always kind of, music has always been involved in my life, and I just kind of been taking it to the next level these last past couple of years.
Yeah. And what sort of, what got you started musically? How young were you when you realized that you kind of knew what you were doing?
I started like rapping, like freestyling, a lot of freestyles. I'm really good at freestyling. Like I'll just put on a beat and I just like, I could just flow with words, but like good. like me, not like, you know, I don't really like look for my words. Like I could get really nice flows going on. I'm a really good freestyler. And so it started with that, and that was around like 14. Then I started writing a bit, but I was big into soccer at that time in high school. And you know, I had aspirations in soccer as well. I played at like the highest level you could in Quebec. And, you know, I had some tryouts in Europe and stuff like that. So, I don't know, music was always, like, secondary. But sometimes I would make a bit more music. But, you know, sports was always that. And then we have what we called CJEP here. So, it's, like, in between high school and university. So, us in Quebec, we finish our high school in grade 11. Then we have, like, 2 or 3 years of CJEP. Then we go to university. As opposed to Toronto and Ontario, where it's grade 12, then university.
Yeah.
So, I was playing CJEP soccer, and that was kind of my last years. And then like school wasn't kind of working out, and you know, I was at 19, 18, and you know, at that age when you're playing sports and you have pro ambitions, you know, like that's the make it or break it age, like. You know, like you could kind of see where your future is going at that age. You know, like if you're not, you know, if you're not almost there at that age, it's gonna be almost impossible. You know, like I wasn't far, but it was, and there's just so many other people that do that. Like people don't realize like how hard sports is. You know, going and it, like it consumes your life. You know, because it's an everyday thing. You know, like you don't do anything else. So my music definitely took a backseat to sports, but that was when I was about 17, right? So I said I started making music at 14, so that's 17, 18. And as soon as I kind of started dropping out of school, I stopped playing soccer. I just kind of naturally just blossomed into me making more music and kind of do it consistently. I was able to kind of build momentum and you know, end up to where I am now.
Yeah. Yeah, and then who did you meet to sort of take you into the next, you know? Because obviously you need talent, which you have.
Uh-huh,
you need a bit of luck, which all sort of some have and some don't.
Yeah.
But you also have that one contact, that one person that sort of pulls you up or propels you into the next, meets you, gets you to meet new more important people, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that was my manager. Mm-hmm. My manager. He's the one that really that helped me publish my music and everything, you know, and get me festivals internationally, mm-hmm. a lot of international showcases. And, so he was able to apply to these international showcases, but at the same time, we put a team around me as well at the same time. And, you know, we were able to go get grants for that, Quebec and Canada, especially have a lot of grants to export, talent to specific showcases. You know, a lot of showcases are even recognized, some are like factor showcases, but in like Paris or something like that, you know?
So
I was able to get plugged in really early at some really cool showcases in France and in Portugal and in Asia as well.
Yeah.
So I was doing these showcases, and I had one EP that was out. That was my first EP, which is called the Half Full EP, and then, which came out in 2018. So, these shows, they're not big shows or anything.
No,
you know,
they're showcases. Sometimes
you'll have 10 people, but those 10 people all work in the industry or something like that, you know, or like they're another band that, you know, came to see your gig that you drank a beer with in the lobby before, you know, they're from like Switzerland, but like you connected with them, you know? So, in that scene and in Europe, that's a big scene, you know, the showcase scene. There's a lot of showcase festivals and, you know, a lot of conventions and a lot of stuff. So, like I said, you know, so, and I don't make money, you know. A lot of these showcases, they don't even pay you, you know.
Yeah, you got to pay to get them.
Well, you don't necessarily need to pay to get them. Like some of them, maybe they might like pay your hotel for the night and give you a per diem for the day that you perform.
Yeah.
You know, you're in the country for a week, but they'll pay the hotel the day that you're there. So, you know, that's always nice. But, so when I came back home, people saw that I did those shows and, I had an EP to back it as well. And then I came back and I played two really big festivals in Quebec. I played the Jazz Fest, the Montreal Jazz Fest, International Jazz Fest, and I ended up playing Festival d'été de Québec. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that festival as well. Huge, 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 huge festival out in Quebec City. Like Iron Maiden goes there all the time. Yeah. Logic was there last year and stuff like that. So very, very big. That's kind of how, I really enjoy performing too. So that's kind of how I, and then like that kind of the people that follow me, it shows them that like, well, you know, like if you guys enjoy my music, but like I'm also moving and you can see me through my social medias and stuff like that, that like like we say in hip hop, I'm making moves, you know. We're making moves out here, you know. So to answer in a long way your question basically, so you know, a lot through the live showcases and you know, just being consistent.
And you mentioned a team. That sort of was a thing that doesn't really exist in some industry where you get a bunch of people that all work together as a team to make you the artist successful. And it's really hard to get that type of team together. So, you know, I guess kudos to your manager and yourself for just getting yourself into a group of people that can make that type of thing happen without, you know, because there's a other music industry out there where people just schlep and do their hardest, and they have, you know, they don't get it. They don't get up to that level because they haven't met these people, or they've made a name for themselves to be maybe hard to work with, it's you're in there for the long haul rather than the let's try to get super famous super fast. I'm sure you wouldn't complain if something exploded, but in due time, right? Like whoever maps that out, you know, to engineer that's a pretty powerful mechanism that you have behind you.
Yeah, and actually we so I was talking about my first EP, but I had just released my second EP, which came out a couple weeks ago, the Index of Minor Thoughts. And I ended up I signed to my first record label this winter, actually, which they put out the EP with me, and the label's called Hydrophonic Records, and its sister label is Indica, which is the label that Grimskunk is part of,
Oh,
that Grimskunk created, actually. So Franz is like part of my projects and stuff like that, you know, and the whole Grimskunk team and their label and everything like that. So, because you're talking about punk rock, right, in Montreal scene, and I know they were I know that they did their thing, and and they're still a big band here too, so it's like,
yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, man. So you know, I work in the same offices, and I use the same studios, and they're involved in my projects as well. So,
Yeah, that's good. That's good because it, you know, if you sort of veer off to one direction, it's good to have an encompassing amount of influences around you, whether it be with ethics or with music or with, you know, stylistic approach. It's good to have that diversity of all the types of music, because to me, that's sort of the important part of hip hop, is that there's an actual it's learn. I'm learning things. You know what I mean? I'm learning
It's
things from it.
versatile. Hip hop is very
It
versatile.
needs to be. It needs to be.
Well, I think it is. I think it's actually, you know, if you listen to most music today, even pop music nowadays has a lot of hip hop sounds. You know, like the kick will be a hip hop kick. You know, drums. You know, now a lot of things are sequence drums. You know, sequence drums. That's hip hop. You know what? Like you see, drum machine. That's hip hop. And now a lot of music is drum machines, you know, or you know, or now, or they're kind of plug-in drums, you know, to emulate a drum machine. So yeah, and hip hop has crossed over in so many genres, every genre basically, right? And you know, I think it was like in Billboard in 2017, I think they said that like hip hop is the number one genre that's listened to in the world, actually, you know. So
I did a lot of work with Sum 41 in their early days. So,
right,
and they
nice.
managed to bridge
Really?
hip hop and rock and roll and punk
Yeah.
rock. And
Yeah, that.
the funny thing about that band is I heard them demoing that song and I'm like, what are you doing?
Okay.
What are you doing? That's ridiculous. What are you? And it became their biggest single. It's like, well, that proves how
Wow.
much I know about music, but
Yeah. Yeah, that whole era, you know, with Rage Against the Machine and, you know, the whole DMX and kind of like that metal kind of, you know, emo-ish kind of rap thing going, even Linkin Park jump, you know, a lot of times, like that kind of realm of music. So yeah, you know, and obviously jazz and hip hop are directly correlated to each other, you know, and just funk and everything, you know. R&B and hip hop are basically like the same genre of music. You know, so you know, like the range is wide when it comes to, you know, and the whole culture behind it too, you know, like MCing and DJ and scratching and then break dancing and just kind of kind of just what it represents, you know.
I worked as in a university and they had a gospel music program and they had 105 singers. What I found to be very cool about it is that it was gospel, but what they would do is then hearken to like newer. So it's gospel music, but gospel music's from, or hip hop's from kind of gospel music, but they were pulling it back to be more like hip hop. So I like that. That was kind of a weird mind meld because it's like, you know, they're taking, you know, a traditional type of music and then putting it into what people want to hear.
Yeah, well, they have a whole genre of gospel hip hop now.
Oh
So,
yeah. Yeah, there's very famous singers or songwriters that sort of are known for that, you know, that type, you know. Love it or hate it, it's catchy. Holy Jesus.
yeah, well, I know a Kurt Franklin, if
Kirk
you know the
Franklin,
name, one
that's
of
the
them.
name, yeah.
That's like the go-to guy for
He's the Led
that.
Zeppelin of like
Of gospel hip
gospel
hop,
music,
you know, like up there,
absolutely.
frankly.
I know who that is. And I would have to mix it like a couple of days later. And it's like, you know, I'm not a religious person, but I'm just like, yeah, it was like just so positive, you know what I mean? It was so good.
One of my Actually, the focus song of the EP is called Hold On, which is the last song, which is a gospel sample. And is kind of, well, you know, Chance the Rapper also did a lot of gospel kind of rap stuff that worked really well for him. So but that's also, you know, it's all kind of one and the same, you know.
Yeah,
gospel, hip-hop, and soul, R&B, you know, it's wide and it's rich, and that's what I love to dabble in a bit of all of that, you know, when I make music.
Well, I have it here if we can play it.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, hold on.
And souvenirs, views from the Belvedere. Shout out to my engineer, it's been one hell of a year. Okay, from Montreal to Paris, Portugal to Tokyo, then ended up in Seoul. Sorry I've been busy, but I've been on the road with a pen and paper, writing music on the go. Oh, hey, no, you can't stop me from the home of the Maple Leaf, where we play hockey. We're frozen cold winters, where some of us bone sinners and others are bone killers that bang like gorillas. I'm a real go-getter with dreams of Coachella and hella mo cheddar. I just don't know better. Like, you can never stop my grind. You can never stop my grind. I'ma take what's mine. I'ma go and take what's mine. I think that I lost my, that I lost my mind.
I think that I lost my mind, as we were wasting so much time. I think that I lost my mind, as we were wasting so much time. Time is all we have to make these moments last. Too caught up in the moment, yeah. There's nothing left holding me back. Too caught up in the moment, there's nothing left holding me.
Just wait a minute, read between the lines. I promise the truth in it. Let come to see to set it straight. Write it down to ventilate. Smoke a little, meditate. I'm hoping that you could relate to pictures that I illustrate, words that I orchestrate, emotions that I emulate, and moments that I recreate. Okay, homie, you could watch me break it down. Break it down. I just need a little soul up in my sound. If you didn't know, well now you know me now. I was searching for something and never found. On the yellow brick road where the journey is so cold that I promised my heart froze in a blizzard with no snow. Like, now I'm just trying to hold on. I'm just trying to hold on. I'm just trying to hold on.
I think that I lost my mind, cause we be wasting so much time. I think that I lost my mind, cause we be wasting so much time. Time is all we have to make these moments last. Too caught up in the moment, there's nothing left holding me back. Too caught up in the moment, there's nothing left holding me.
We're just trying to hold on. Hold on to what we got. Hold on to what we know. And hold on to what we love. This is the index of my.
There's a lot of crossover stuff that it's like.
Let your thoughts be known.
A lot of purists would say, you know, that's maybe not doing. But think about what Walk This Way did with Run DMC. It completely gave each other a whole new audience. You know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I saw
the will, the win-win.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And one thing. You know, hip hop is not short of is good marketing. Just
the
rocks.
Kings.
The kings, right? You can't beat them.
Jordan, yeah. You know, like Jordan and you know, the Jordan brand and hip hop are forever aligned together. Mm-hmm. Basketball and hip hop, you know, is, you know, just a big, you know, when the MC in the Adidas tracksuit, like, you know, yeah. Now those shoes are forever aligned with hip hop. Those Adidas, the white Adidas shoes, you know?
Yeah.
and the big chain and the kangaroo and the kango hat, you know, like
it's for sure. But it's also, you know, you think how many years, that's 40, almost 40 years ago now, like 35 something years ago, where, you know, it sort of entered. And even before then, you think even the 70s and Grandmaster Flash and sort of things like sort of everything got sort of pushed into that direction. And it was a musical style that deserves, you know, a lot of credit, you know, because it's, you know, rock and roll stole from jazz. Stealing is sort of a loose word, but hip hop actually took from jazz. It took from rock. It took from everything and made awesome stuff. I worked a bit with MC Shan and Snow on a record, and he would listen to stuff and go, "We got to take that." I'm like,
yeah, like take what the guy's doing.
Yeah, take it. That. We're gonna take it, like steal it. Yeah. You know, we listened to like it was like at the time, Resident Evil Nemesis was like a big thing for PlayStation 2, and he heard the last song and goes, "We got to rewrite that. We got to make that a song." Yeah, so he was definitely somebody that sort of like obviously had his finger on the pulse when it came to music, but you know, and it's
the legends. Yes,
absolutely. Yeah, no, it was an interesting guy to work with, but you know, so I find that it's not really a genre. It's not sort of like, it's not a style. It's like, it's more like how people tick, you know what I mean? And I like the ethical side of music. I like when people really mean what they say, you know what I mean? And I can definitely associate myself and relate to the music that you put out.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I really try to put thought and emotion and everything that I got into my music.
Yeah. So what is your plans now? Like, are you waiting so you can fly places? And is Canada just a home, or is there like an actual scene that you can plug into while you're home?
Well, we're actually on the 18th of October, we're going to be a video that we filmed here in Montreal is going to be shown in Korea, actually, at a really big jazz festival in Korea, in Seoul. And the same video will be premiered in India as well in a month online. And what this video is actually a live captation of my EP. So it's basically my whole EP, but live. So with no backing tracks and just a backline with bassist, drummer, keyboard player, and vocalist, and myself. And the bassist switch between an upright and an electric bass as well, so we can get that jazzy feel. And we banged out 30 minutes. It's a 30-minute set, and we're gonna try to kind of sell that show online some way, you know, since we can't travel for now.
Yeah.
And and all of these musicians are, you know, they're all studying. Two of them study jazz, and one of them study classical music. And the vocalist is, you know, been singing for 20 plus years. She's actually from Stratford, Ontario, actually.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's actually from Stratford. And her name is Leah Keeley. So if anyone from Ontario is listening to this and you guys know who she is, shout out to Leah Keeley.
Well, Stratford's a small town. She might know my friend Mr. D from the band The Salads. He lives out there.
Well, I know her. Yeah, The Salads. Okay, I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah, they have a song called, they have a few, it's sort of early 2000s band, but yeah, we're in a band right now. We do a few things, but yeah, Mr. D from in Stratford is an awesome town. I mean, that's so whoever sings, because I was looking for credits and I was finding like who's the singer. I'm glad you said who it was.
Yeah, so her name is Leah Keeley, but the name should be there on Spotify.
I got the promo. Oh, sorry, I was looking at the promo, the sort of the breakdown of the songs and stuff.
The, what are they called? The Salads?
The Salads, yeah. They had some songs. So I guess everything's pivoting now when it comes to live music. So what's your pivot going to be? Obviously you're doing this 30-minute thing. Is there anything else that you're going to sort of try to plan for the future about
working on? I'm currently writing my first studio album. So that's in the process. I released two EPs, and I have time. I don't work right now. Mm-hmm. I'm only starting school back in January. I just rented a studio space with some friends of mine in Montreal. So I'm working.
Doing an album.
Working on an album. my first one. So I'm excited. Yeah. And that's it's the best time to create music right now, mm-hmm. And just, producers and musicians are just dying to work with people because there's nothing else to do, There's no gigs.
That's true.
There's no gigs. People want to work. People want to put in work. People want to jam, being safe as well, jamming and being safe. But
Producers have been doing this for a long time where you actually can work with them. Now we're in such a global world. You can kind of just send tracks to the producer and they can go, I like this part. I don't like that part. And you send it back to
them. Something different, though, as something with being there and
absolutely.
That
energy,
that can be replicated, the way I want to work, if I get a beat or something and someone sends me something and it's good, I'm not going to say no, but in an ideal world, I would like to be there with the producer and to make something, maybe I'm not there, but that we met and we shared an energy. And then from there, we kind of build on something.
I worked with Snow almost 20 years ago now, but when we did, it was very spontaneous. It was like they had an MPC 3000 sampler, a couple of ADAT machines. And then we'd start at 8 at night, and we'd go to like 4 in the morning, and luckily I wasn't doing anything else, and then we'd have weekends off. It was like, back then it was like a real job. It was a job. We did it for months, made a record for months and months and months, and it ended up becoming that Mind on the Moon record, which came out in the early 2000s, his sort of comeback record, when he was trying to sound like Sugar Ray. It is, you're right, because, music, when you have all those parts and you're making a soup, you're basically making a musical soup, it's really tough to sort of, let's put this on pause, and I'll send the track over to a guy over there on the other side of the world, and he can send the track back, and then we can then start working, it's definitely, you need all that, it's like almost like you go into a room, you need everything at fingers touch. Where you can
you don't have to go wait 2 days for this guy to send you a kick with another sound on it, or I don't know.
It's true. We're living in a digital age anyways. I mean, you can make Grammy winning records right there, right where you are. Yeah.
Billie Eilish made that her the whole album that won like every single Grammy ever, like in her room with her brother. So
Did you see what's his name, Chris Lord-Alge or Tom Lord-Alge? He's talking about it, and he's a producer. He was like basically saying
that's the brother, right?
No, it was the Tom Lord-Alge is this mixing engineer. He's been around forever. Okay. Like he mixed his brother mixed American Idiot. Like he's just a big mixing producer guy. Yeah. And he's like going to defend, he's on the defense, and he says, so what if they did it in their basement? It won Grammys. Like there's no, you can't get mad at them because they didn't spend like $1 billion on their record,
Record labels are pretty upset though with that. Wait, so are you a musician, producer, mixer?
I've been playing in bands and recording in bands and recording bands for a long time. So
what do you play?
I play a bit of everything. I play bass, I play drums. I got kind of everything here, actually. It's funny you talk about it. I have a drum kit over there. Then I have my console here.
Okay.
And then some other stuff. And I have a live rig, so I have an in-ear monitor system, but I can't actually get the shot.
You're pretty good where you are.
Oh, this is great. I've taken half the basement up in my house, and now I was only supposed to get a quarter of it, but I keep branching out. So I'm like moving into it's my basement now. But, I appreciate when people, you can tell that there's work been put in, mm-hmm. and there's, and you know, I like it, you know, and I think other people should like this too. And the fact that you're, you know, I think that you're doing things on a global level, which is very good. It's smart because nobody cares if you're from Canada anymore. You know what I mean? It used to be a bad thing. It used to be a bad thing if you're from Canada, but now nobody cares because it's like, especially in Europe. You know, Europe's a place to...
They love Canadians, too, actually.
Love, hate Americans. They love Canadians.
Canadian. Oh, my God, you're Canadian.
Yeah. It's amazing. And
You know what's funny? That in France, so here in Quebec, we have... I think we have over 100,000 people that are from France in Quebec alone. We have a lot of French people from France. So every time you go to France and you're from Quebec and you tell them, oh, I'm from Quebec, everybody from France knows someone that's in Quebec. Oh, I know my friend, he left and he never came back. Or, oh, my cousin's sister is somewhere. Do you know her? Like, my cousin's sister, she's from Montreal. Like, do you know her? Her name's Veronique. Like, no, I don't know Veronique.
But what if that one time you do? That'd be the funny part. Like, yeah, I do, actually.
You know, the world is small, so, you know, there's sometimes that would happen.
I have a story about, I was in Germany on tour. And we're touring around, and we're in Carreux, which borders France. So France is right across the Rhine. And these crew guys are sitting around, and I go, hey, how's it going? And they're pretty good. Oh, where do you guys live? Oh, we live here, around here. I say, great, you must. Do you know any French? Because, you know, you're right. It's right there. I could walk to France across. And they go, no. They're like, whoa. Geez. They were very, very adamant about not knowing French. And you know how when you drive to Montreal, you get to like Cornwall, and then things start becoming more and more and more French, and then eventually, and then, you know what I mean, there's this sort of blending and of French and English sort of joining together. And the same when you go out east, you know, there's like a blending from Nova or New Brunswick, where you have the French side, and doesn't exist in Europe, man. They're like, no, we don't care to know. But I have a friend over there, his 8-year-old is learning French. So maybe things are changing. This is a few years ago now.
Well, a couple of countries speak French in Europe. I know Switzerland speak French, Belgium speak French in Belgium.
Italians, Luxembourg, French.
They speak. We were actually supposed to go to Italy. We were supposed to tour in Italy this year, actually. Yeah, I'm really bummed out about that.
It's a beautiful country. I have some very nice friends in the north end. And the funny thing about Italians is that there's a north and a south. And if you even get that messed up, you're in deep water. Like Milan, people from Milan are like the people in Rome are not the nice Italians. And like there's a thing going on there between north and south.
Sicilians and
it's same with Germans. If you're up in Bremen in Germany or north part like Berlin or up towards that side, if you go to the south, where like I can't even remember, like Osberg, like even south, more south, like you know, it turns into a more different type of German, and Germans speak with their hands a lot of, but in north.
Yeah.
In North Germany, it's like very hard.
And it's like that in France too, actually. The people in Marseille hate Parisians, and Parisians people don't like people from Marseille.
Interesting.
Yeah.
In Spain, same with Spain. They have the Basque region, which is like, no, we don't like Spaniards.
They don't like anybody. No.
They don't like anybody. That's true. Yeah. I was in Spain and we were driving, and there's a highway. And the bus driver was driving and goes, that highway's been, they've been building that highway for 20 something years. And they had like a labor dispute like 10 years ago and just stopped it. So I bet you the highway's still not built.
Oh, wow.
Well, I think we're off topic, but let's hear another song. Is there another one you want to hear?
Let's put on whichever one.
Let's do questions.
Welcome to my inner thoughts, locked in. Thoughts in a golden vault, lakeside, thinking while I'm skipping Vox. And these eyes tell a story of a paradox. I came across a couple complications. The color of the rainbow seems a little faded. We're scared of the truth, cause it's always naked. We eyes deep, but I just couldn't face it. Questions, are we living a lie? Reflections of ourselves, like are we living or die? Questions, like how you feeling inside? It's an everyday struggle, I'm just trying to survive. Questions, like are we happy or not? My answer tends to change when I'm drinking a lot. Questions, like how you feeling your heart? Like can't I really know? Let me give it a thought. It's time to roll the herb, think then I jot. I be thinking of her like whether or not. And we killing the earth, are we making it hot? We just killing each other on the screens of our phones. Time for attention, can't leave it alone. She's always online and hates being alone. And every time we go out, it's like it's all for the show. And then he tell you the man, cause you got bottles and blow. And a cup of empty cokes that come with the host. Then it's Uber to the after, oh you know how it goes. But the sun was wide awake when you finally made it home. Just to realize that you was always alone. Questions.
Yeah, I love the music. I love your ethics, and I love the just how it's just nicely delivered. And there's no, it doesn't feel like, you know what I mean, I'm being sort of yelled at.
Listen to this, yeah. Ah! Now you gotta listen. No, thank you. I appreciate for your time and your interest, and for giving me a platform to speak on. I really appreciate that.
Amazing, man. Awesome. And that was LT's. Fun conversation, fun person, fun dude, fun to talk to. And yeah, very, very, very good music. Good album. It's great. Pick it up. The Index to My Inner Thoughts just came out last month. And yeah, what can I say? This podcast is fun. It's always fun meeting new people. Hey, Americans, don't forget to go out and vote. Vote, 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 vote. Get rid of the orange face monster. I wish you well. And, yeah. So I think we won't be talking to each other. Well, maybe we'll get one more in before you vote in November. There's a Jimmy Eat World song called Futures. I wish I could just play it right now. Things will be better in November. Have a great, great week. I might take a week off as I am working on this other project, the Nights and Weekends project that's taking a lot of my time. So podcasts might be coming out every other week now for the next couple of months. But who knows? Maybe something will come out next week. So keep your ears perked. Okay. Safe drive. Look out for that thing. I'm just kidding. Oh, look out over there. Don't hit that. Oh, there's a squirrel. Oh, too bad. Have a great week. Bye.